I'm Jackie Lowy with Sheridan Park Consulting, and I'm also the program director for Lambda Alpha Eli Chapter. So it's my pleasure to introduce Lori Healy, who is currently with John Buck Company and is a principal and was recently made the director of development, which is a pretty substantial position, especially in the development community within Chicago for women. And that's one of the reasons I'm so pleased to be introducing Lori. Along with Lori's incredible credentials, I've also personally see her as a mentor and somebody who has been incredibly helpful. She is a connector and understands how to do that and do that well. So I appreciate being a part of Lori's network. With John Buck Company, she is currently focusing on the infrastructure-related and public-private partnership opportunities. Prior to Buck, she was the president of Chicago 2016, the city's Olympic bid organization. Prior to that, chief of staff for Mayor Richard M. Daley. And previous to that was the commissioner of the Chicago Department of Planning and Development. Prior to that, deputy commissioner for tax increment financing, so she certainly knows her way around TIF. I actually got to know her when she was a principal at Perkins and Will's Chicago office. And prior to that, she was with the Illinois Department of Commerce and Community Affairs. She's a graduate of both bachelor and master's degree from Kansas State University. And if you haven't already, you should, before she leaves, look at her fabulous shoes. They are the most incredible shoes I've ever seen. She has this incredible wardrobe of shoes. So, and it also is making her about, you know, 3 or 4 inches taller than she is. So with that, please help me welcome Lori Healy.
Well, anybody who knows me knows I have a propensity to collect shoes. My daughter, who works at a hedge fund, actually went to a Bears game last year where the same hedge fund, the mayor's son-in-law, works for that hedge fund, and they were in the skybox, and the mayor was talking to my daughter, and he was telling my daughter about my propensity to collect shoes. So it's not a very well-kept secret. Anyway, it's great to be here today. It's nice to see everybody. I was walking through the room, somebody said, it's kind of like going to Thanksgiving with your family. Everybody knows each other, so it takes a little bit of the pressure off. But I would like to thank Lambda Alpha, and particularly Jackie, for asking me to be here today. When she called me, I said, does this mean I have to pay my dues? So I brought my dues. Usually I end up paying my dues when my friend David Reifman calls and says, I need you to be a second on the nomination for Lambda Alpha. So I think we've done that for the last 3 years. We always manage to get somebody in. So anyway, it's great to be here today. And so many people in this room, I've had the pleasure and the opportunity to either work with as colleagues or sit across the table from in any number of different capacities. And it's always good to be here. So Mr. Grady, counselor, you overlooked one of the zoning commissioners.
Ed Cuss?
Ed Cuss?
Mr. Cuss.
Ed, where are you? I was looking out for you, man. And I'll see you, your zoning commissioners, and raise you a couple of planning commissioners that are here in this room. So, and we're only missing Alicia, I think, who is also a member of Lambda Alpha. So anyway, for just before I start, I'd like to forgive my lack of a PowerPoint. When Jackie called and asked me to talk today, she's like, well, you know, everybody does a PowerPoint. I'm like, really? Well, I don't know how to do PowerPoint. And the people that you had in the public sector, you don't really have those in the private sector anymore, except I briefly had people that could do it, but now those people got stolen and are working for Tony Preckwinkle. So I have no PowerPoint today. So you're going to have to suffer through a fairly dry discussion. So also interestingly enough, when Jackie called me to do this and I said, sure, the very next week, what I'm calling the You've Got No Juice article came out in Cranes. It talked about all the people who'd worked in the Daley administration and were they going to be able to do business in Chicago with the thought that you were only marginally capable of doing anything at all on your own without having worked for the mayor. And clearly half the people in this room would be in that position if that was the case. So, you know, it's funny though, after that article I got to thinking, I've had the opportunity when working for the mayor to really work with mayors from all across the country, who obviously they don't rely on Cranes for their information about the networking capabilities of people in the city. But interestingly enough, I had the opportunity, just as an example, to spend almost 2 days with Mayor Michael Nutter from Philadelphia when he was campaigning for that position. And I spent 2 days with him in Chicago, and we spent a lot of time talking about how government was organized and how Mayor Daley had made such a good use of the talents of people. So you do a tour through city government, sometimes twice, and then you go out into the private sector and you serve on volunteer boards for all the great organizations that are reflected here in this room, whether it's MPC, AIA, Greater North Michigan Amity, the Loop Alliance, LISC. Shout out to Joel and Barb. I'm their board chair this year. So you do that. You get appointed to a paid board. Zoning Board of Appeals is always interesting to go to. Or you end up raising money for the many charities that are so successful across the city and that are so important to the success of the fabric of our neighborhoods. And everybody is such a good a citizen. And that was something that really, really impressed that mayor. And in every other city in the country, with maybe the exception of New York, looks to Chicago as a model of how you do government and how you do government successfully, how you have stable political leadership, and you really use the talent and the expertise of the folks across the city, particularly, I think, in our industry. So, anyway, so that's it's nice to know that that Cranes doesn't quite get that, so. So late yesterday afternoon, I started to think about what I was going to talk about. I've been doing a lot of traveling. I'm going to other cities. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I see in the real estate development world, which I believe is positive and is starting to show some significant signs of life. And I spoke yesterday afternoon, and I talked to my friend, Aaron. Where are you? Aaron Leb and Kevin Argy, as I do many days. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. It's going to be a Jerry Seinfeld speech. I'm going to talk about nothing. What is it? And she said, well, you ought to just talk about Kevin Bacon. I'm like, Kevin Bacon, yeah, the 6 degrees of separation. Well, it's really more like 2 degrees of separation. And that's what I said about when I started, about the people in this room and what a great experience it's been to work with everyone and have so many things in common. Now, while not on the actual topic, I do just want to say that it's great to be able, now that I'm back in the private sector, to work collaboratively, well, at least most of the time, and to build success, whether business or personal, off of doing things together, because it really, at the end of the day, it's just a whole lot more fun to do things with the people that you like. So over the course of the next few years, I'm sure that we're going to have the opportunity to do that. Now, what I wanted to do this afternoon was talk just briefly about what an interesting year I think it's going to be in Chicago. Now, we're going to have a new mayor who's very, very different in style and approach than our outgoing mayor, but one that's incredibly capable, fearless, and committed to solving many of the structural problems affecting Chicago's finances and our business climate. He's assembled an incredibly strong transition team that's already working very, very hard to review the policies, the programs, and the personnel currently in place in the city. I know many of you are involved in various and assorted transition committees. Could you raise your hand if you are? It's pretty good participation. Now, in addition to a new mayor, and I think one that's going to have incredibly strong ramifications for many of the people in this room, we're going to have a very significantly different city council. Now, you know many aldermen, senior aldermen, decided not to run again. And like the last election cycle, there are in many races a very clear distinction between pro-development and what I'll call pro-status quo, as opposed to anti-development candidates. And for those in our industry who do critical projects in the city's neighborhoods, shout out to Ted Novak on Lincoln Park Hospital. I do not envy you, man. Ted could probably give this speech, right, for 45 minutes about Linkin Park. And there, it's going to be very likely that, you know, you're going to have significant timeline issues to address as part of those projects. You know, new aldermen are going to have to undergo that inevitable education challenge, right, where, you know, the reality of making decisions affecting your neighborhoods and the developments in them are much, much more complicated than the easy campaign rhetoric where you criticize things and talk about TIF being unsuccessful and talk about zoning and things like that. So that's going to, I think, impact a lot of neighborhood development projects in particular. Now, I just wanted to just say a quick word about tax increment financing, just because it's near and dear to my heart. There's a table over here of TIF experts that, you know, I've either worked with or alongside of for a very long time. But I think it's going to face significant challenges from a lot of local elected officials who believe that, you know, the TIF revenues and the TIF budgets are an easy way to solve immediate budget gaps, where there's really not a political will to deal with the tougher issues around pension reform and benefits and things like that. So, you know, and while it might make sense in some districts, it would really strap significantly challenged neighborhoods where jobs and development are really critical to helping turn around the local economy. And I think for the neighborhoods in particular, this is going to be a very interesting policy debate over the next several months. And I feel sure that many of the projects that we all work on will be challenged by that. Now, with little current development and continued underperforming tax revenues, although I think certainly within the next year to 18 months, hopefully that will change around, public sector budgets are going to continue to erode, and hard decisions are going to have to be made to keep the city and all levels of government moving forward. Innovative financing transactions such as public-private partnerships will continue to be examined and utilized. And we've got a couple of people in this room who really excel in that area. David and Joanna from Mayor Brown have been working with me on a couple of projects. And it's interesting to note that Europe, Australia, Canada have all proved that these kinds of transactions can shift the burden of financing, construction and ultimately operations and maintenance of both hard and social infrastructure to the private sector as long as there is a sufficient return. Now, I've been working across the country on some of these projects, and it's really incredible to note that there are billions of dollars sitting in public infrastructure funds right now waiting to be invested in innovative projects across the country, across all asset types, transit, roadways, bridges, Lakeshore Drive, for example, water and wastewater systems, and then the real estate infrastructure of our schools, our community colleges, and all of our public buildings. And actually, for the first time, I think it's notable that other cities and parts of the country are outpacing Chicago in the use of these particular financing transactions. I've been working on a project for a long time in Atlanta. We weren't successful, but I think it's a good model of how cities and metropolitan areas can begin to look at some of the challenges facing their hard infrastructure. This was, for example, a transit project, and it's been pretty interesting to see. You know, here in Chicago, I think it's going to take a little bit of a public education process to overcome the negative publicity around the parking meter transaction, which was an implementation issue and certainly not a financing structural issue. But hopefully, as time moves on, that will become less and less apparent, and there will be a healthy and robust discussion on the potential for those tools as we move forward. Now, I gave Patty Scudiero, our zoning administrator, a little heads up that I was going to talk about this because she just said, oh, I'm going to shine the spotlight on my table. One of the things, again, talking about the neighborhoods and what some of the challenges are in development moving forward, and I've harped on this for the last couple years, is the overabundance of land that's sitting vacant in our planned manufacturing districts across the city. Although none of us wants to go through the four-year process of rewriting the zoning code like we did the last time. You know, I think there's significant merit in a thoughtful process that would redefine what a PMD is and rationalize the volume of land available with manufacturing and business demand. Maybe it's coming up with different ideas or opportunities, but there certainly are lost opportunities now because manufacturing is clearly not going to rebound to the extent that it was in past eras. Now, one bright spot for our neighborhoods is the entry of Walmart into the city. you know, they worked very closely with the Pullman community and with Alderman Beal and with a whole host of people to get a store approved and open the way for a dialogue between Walmart and organized labor that resulted in an agreement to pay an urban wage. Now, this urban wage is slightly higher than those wages paid in rural or suburban areas and commensurate with the starting wages of a UFCW worker. It was a very long and arduous negotiation process. Now, and that agreement, along with the unanimous vote by the city council, has opened the door for stores of multiple formats, providing residents of the city with access to fresh food and badly needed job opportunities. I know everybody saw on their Cranes report this morning. Is there a theme? That Walmart has agreed to announce two smaller store formats, one in Presidential Towers, one at 83rd and Stewart, and then a new neighborhood market format of 40,000 square feet at 76th and National. And it's really nice to see retailers taking interest in the parts of our cities that are in most need for both their residents, for both food and development and job and development opportunities. Now, in the Central Business District, while not nearly as robust as the market was 3 years ago, we are certainly seeing signs of life. Those of us with real estate funds like our company have, you know, we also have a great deal of capital sitting on the sidelines waiting to take advantage of opportunities as mortgages become due, notes become due. There's going to be a significant restructuring, not only in trading of assets, but trading of land parcels where and underutilized buildings where development will not be nearly as expensive as it has been in the past several years. You know, we've been looking at a surprising number of new development opportunities and have seen an increased level of interest by hotels and by investors in rental residential properties, not only in Chicago, but in the other major markets around the country. We're active in Washington, D.C., where you've got the only job market that continues to grow despite everything else, but also Philadelphia, New York, Boston, and San Francisco. We're seeing actually quite a lot of activity as we look around with our funds and for development opportunities. And the banks are looking at projects again. I'm sure many of you in this room have had that similar experience where it's not quite as easy as it was several years ago to get financing, but the spigot is definitely beginning to open up, and the talks are much more rational than they should be. And just on a final comment on development in Chicago, it will be interesting to watch what the city does with the Michael Reese property that was to be the site of the Olympic Village if Chicago had been successful in our Olympic bid. You know, that deal 4 years ago when we were working on the pro forma around it barely penciled with high-end residential over a 15-year build-out period. And I'm talking high-end, high-rise residential where you're maximizing your land value. Obviously, the market is significantly different than it was 4 years ago. And I know there have been some different thoughts about uses, business parks, tech parks, all of which will present an interesting challenge about how to get those uses financed. You know, that note comes, payments on that note come due in the next 2 to 3 years, and so the city's going to be faced with some hard decisions about what to do with that. And I know many of you in this room for a long time have indicated an interest in that property, either for yourself or for the institutions that you represent, and it will be, I think, an issue that they will need to deal with immediately when the new mayor takes office. Now, as I said, I think another reason I think that this year is going to be an interesting one is that the opportunity for collaboration is really great. I am so impressed with what President Preckwinkle has done at the county in the first 100 days. Her revamping of all the agencies that she has, the beginning of discussions about rationalization of services between the city and the county. You know, both of them have healthcare systems, for example. Why should the city be in the healthcare business? And there, you know, many of those discussions are starting to talk. It's pretty apparent to everyone that it's lots of City Hall staffers have just moved to the other side of the building now and are working for her. But I think that's good because there's a level of experience and a level of competence that certainly, for the first time in 4 years, I think there's an opportunity for great dialogue. And it's good to see the commitment to continue to roll back the sales tax as it does impact our business climate and how the business community views the opportunity to stay in the city, grow in the city, prosper in the city, and provide jobs for Chicago's residents. Now, collaboration, creative problem solving, those are all qualities that are very abundant in this room, and I feel sure that many of you will be called upon to bring your expertise and your experience to new leadership over the next 4 years. We've learned tremendous lessons working for Mayor Daley. When I moved to Chicago 25 years ago, this is an entirely different city than it was at that time. So I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned, a lot of good things that have been done, a lot of experience that's in this room. And we must continue to provide those opportunities and lessons over the next 4 years. And I urge everyone to stay involved, be committed, help your new local elected officials if you live in the city, volunteer for committees, send your comments, your ideas in on the website. Talk to the people that are on the transition team. Make sure that they know what your ideas and opportunities are, because I think it's going to be, like I said, a very interesting year and certainly an interesting next 2 or 3 years. So with that, I will wrap up, and I am happy to take questions.
Well, we are recording this, so it'll be on our website. If you have any questions, please wait to get the microphone, and you can ask your question.
Lori, wanted to go back to TIF for a minute. When we talk about TIF, we talk about TIF like it's one massive thing. But in actuality, there are TIFs and there are TIFs. And so I just wondered how, you know, what you're thinking of in terms of where the investment, as according to the law, should be put, and in other TIFs, maybe not
well,
so much.
Well, that's according to the law, there's only one TIF. And the law is written in such a way that you have the discretion and the authority, as long as it meets the intent of the law, to set up your district so that it best suits the economic development needs and purposes within that district. I think that there are obviously very small TIFs that support individual projects. There are very large TIFs, which were put in place, I might add, many, many years ago, and I think a lot of people point to Central Loop or South Loop, were put in place at a period of time where the economic development environment was significantly different than it is today. I think one of the things that most people don't remember about TIFs is that you think you're losing tax dollars as a result of it, and that is 100% erroneous. The tax levy is the tax levy. Every taxing body levies what they levy. Everybody continues to collect it. It's just certain properties are frozen at a level for a number of years. And I think that there are certainly 100% justifiable instances to say when money is put back into a neighborhood, when money is used to support public institutions in those neighborhoods, that those neighborhoods definitely rebound and make a recovery. It has been the only tool, particularly in certain neighborhoods in the city, that you've been able to use in order to spur economic development. And I think that Chicago can point to many of its successes by use of that tool.
Just as a follow-up, what do you think of the mayor-elect's idea to use TIF revenue to support operating expenses such as new police officers?
Well, I think that certainly that there are, it's very specific within the law as to what TIF revenues can be used for, and I think the incoming administration will certainly identify and cultivate experts in those areas, and will determine based upon that review of the statute as to what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
Lori, could you elaborate on your views relative to the PMDs, and more specifically, the huge PMD on the far south side of Chicago, its relationship to the port?
Well, I actually, that's one of the discussions that we've all had, many of us in this room have had. You know, Bill Trumbull used to be the head of industrial development at the city. Chris, Commissioner Patty and zoning. We could have a deal task force meeting right now, right? You know, it's always been a discussion. There's PMDs all across the city where there's a lot of vacant land. A lot of, you know, the PMD specifically on the south and southeast side of the city, which is the largest PMD in the city. I mean, that is clearly industrial area and has been for a very long time. And, you know, you've seen interest recently, like Leucadia, even though it was vetoed by the governor. I mean, that is the kind of area where heavy manufacturing firms go. There's been continued discussions on what to do with the port, whether to make it an actual real operating port or whether you're constrained by invasive species. But, I mean, that certainly is one of the areas with the transportation hubs, access to rail, access to the intermodal, access to the port, that if you're going to, you know, maintain the integrity of a particular PMD, I think that certainly is the one in the city that makes ultimately the most sense. But there are PMDs along the expressway abutting residential neighborhoods. We've had discussions for very long times, for example, with the high-end auto dealerships who have no place to locate in the city of Chicago. You know, brings tremendous amount of tax revenues and job opportunities. You know, what do you do with those kinds of uses? And I think this will be the opportunity to examine a lot of that land, should the new administration choose to do so, to make it more productive and contribute in a much better way to the tax rolls in the city. Graham, do you need a mic? Yes. Here, you want to do this?
Only because it's being recorded. Lori, will you please comment on high-speed rail and the sort of trade-off? In the short term, it looks good for Illinois when some states bow out and we get more money. But then the question becomes, is the overall hub and spoke system in a place like Chicago hurt long term if you don't have a line through Wisconsin, if you don't have a line to Minneapolis, that sort of thing?
Well, I think high-speed rail is only as productive as the uses are at either end of it. And high-speed rail in the Chicago metropolitan area, connecting to such markets as St. Louis, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Madison, Champaign, those are all great, and I think it's certainly good for the region. It's good, you know, when there's a construction budget. I think the challenge is going to be, and this is what I've heard based out of Washington. I'm sure David and others have heard similar things, which is a lot of the attention is being put on the California corridors and the East Coast corridors, where you really have moving massive amounts of people between major hubs, and I think it's going to be incumbent upon the high-speed rail initiative here in Illinois. And Luann, you can probably answer this better, but you know, is sort of looking at demand and looking at the level of investment as to the type of rail and things like that.
Hi, Lori. In regards to the Michael Reese site, I'm wondering, how do you feel the new administration should go about assessing this property, and what is the highest and best use for
well,
it?
Well, I will use the model that we did for the Olympic bid, and Ted Novak and DLA Piper were part of that team. We pulled together experts from Mesro Stein, from Bovis, from Skidmore, from our own internal resources, myself, Cassandra Francis. We used a lot of expertise out around the room to come in and look at, not only from a design perspective, but from a financing perspective and a capital markets perspective, what made the most sense. And I think that model worked really well as we went through and developed the pro forma. And I would encourage, you know, a new administration to take that same approach and to gather a group of private sector professionals to come in and take a really hard look at it.
Any other questions?
Great. Oh, Jackie. Key West.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Key West.
No, I was teasing her. I could never wear shoes like that. I'd take two steps and fall on my face, but they look good on you. My question is, just personally, it was just such a heartbreak when Chicago wasn't selected for the Olympics, but the silver lining, at least from my standpoint, and my gut is telling me that it certainly has ramped up Chicago's, how people perceive Chicago internationally. My question to you is, what do you think... do we have the attention more of international folks in terms of looking at even some of the other sites than the Michael Reese site in terms of new development opportunities, ways to
foreign capital
in Chicago?
I think foreign capital is a very big one. I mean, just to Jackie's point, one of the things we did during the Olympic bid was we tracked how often Chicago was discussed in the media in international markets, and it increased fourfold from the beginning of the time that we started the bid till the end of the bid. And that's continued. I think you saw that certainly in the mayor's commitment to keeping Chicago international. And I have to tell you, traveling internationally with the mayor, he's known across the world for being a huge booster for the city, for reaching out to other parts of the world. You know, we had the Arab Mayors Forum here. We had the Hemispheric Mayors Forum here. We're the only only city outside of Washington that had the Chinese president come with the bevy of investors, you know, that travel with that president. And I think, you know, certainly I can say from our own company experience, the interest in foreign capital, whether it's Chinese capital, Korean capital, Middle Eastern capital, there's a lot of capital looking for a place to park, and a lot of the foreign money likes the Chicago market, and likes the Chicago market for a multitude of reasons. And I think it's because we have become so well known as a global city. Probably New York and Chicago are really the two global cities in the U.S., and I think that's definitely paid off, and the mayor's investment in international outreach has done that for us. Great. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Lori one more time for her the time that she took to prepare her comments and to be with us today. It's always a wonderful experience to get Lori's perspective on what's happening in this great city and beyond. And with that, we have a nice little parting gift of the Plan of Chicago, written by some of the Lambda Alpha members, some in this room. So if we could all thank Lori one more time, and we'll see you next month.